Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Amen. Dear fellow Christians who are celebrating the birth of our Savior, what makes the perfect Christmas gift? Maybe the perfect Christmas gift is that gift that you spent so much time trying to find. Whether it's you went to multiple stores to find that gift, or maybe you spent much of your own personal time making that gift for someone. And since you spent all that time, you want to beautifully wrap that gift and present it to that person. Maybe the perfect Christmas gift is a gift that's not given just to one person, but it's a gift given to multiple people to share and to use. Maybe the perfect Christmas gift is that gift that you know the person will value and appreciate so deeply. And as we celebrate Christmas, we see that God has given us the perfect Christmas gift. For He spent much time preparing this gift for us, and when the time was right, it was wrapped beautifully for us. This Christmas gift is offered to all, and this Christmas gift is treasured and pondered by us because Jesus is God's Christmas gift. And this is how Jesus, God's Christmas gift, was given to the world. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. These verses that I'm sure most of you memorized when you were little children are important for two reasons. One, it shows that Jesus' birth is a true historical fact. This is not a myth. This is not a legend. This is not a fairy tale that happened a long time ago in a land far, far away. We know who these people were. We know when they lived and when they ruled. Jesus' birth is a reality. And the second reason why these verses are so important is because it explains why Jesus was born in Bethlehem. God promised that our Savior would be born in the city of Bethlehem, but Mary and Joseph are all the way in the town of Nazareth. They have no desire to travel to Bethlehem, especially since Mary is 9 months pregnant. But because of this decree from the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus, Mary and Joseph traveled down to the city of Bethlehem, and while they were there, Mary gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And do not let these words pass you by so quickly. Jesus, the Son of God, is wrapped in human flesh. Jesus, the Son of God, becomes truly human as we are. But why does He do that? Why is Jesus wrapped in human flesh? It's an important question to ask, because sometimes people think that since Adam and Eve fell into sin, why couldn't God, who's so gracious and loving and forgiving, just promise to overlook all of their sins? Well, yes, God is so loving and gracious and forgiving, but God is also just. He has to punish sin, and He has to punish those who commit sin. And that's why Jesus came wrapped in human flesh, in order to win salvation for mankind. But why does Christ have to do that? Why can't we save ourselves? We can't save ourselves because the very moment that we are conceived and born, we are wrapped in original sin. The disobedience of Adam and Eve has been passed down unto us. We receive that guilt. And through Adam and Eve's disobedience, we have inherited a sinful nature that lives in us. Therefore, we fully, completely, and willingly disobey our God. You and I see that so clearly in our lives. Those sins that we commit, that we didn't even try to fight against that temptation, but we easily gave in. Those sins that we never felt any guilt or remorse for what we have done, but rather we brag about the sin that we have committed. Those sins that we know we should turn away from, but we keep turning back to them again and again as if it were almost an addiction for us. And the times that we do obey God, our hearts are not always in it. We can feel forced to obey what God says, and we don't do it willingly. This too is a sin. And so because of this original sin and this corrupt nature that lives in us, we disobey God, and we deserve His justice and His wrath. We deserve the eternal punishment and death of hell. But that is why Jesus came wrapped in human flesh. But once again, why could Jesus save us? After all, He's just as human as we are. But even though Jesus is just as human as we are, He was not wrapped in original sin. Because He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, He did not have that corrupt, sinful nature living in Him. And therefore, Jesus could fully, completely, and willingly obey God. He kept God's law perfectly for us. But even though Jesus is true God, and that's why He could live a perfect life, Jesus did not always use His full power and glory on earth. He shared in our sufferings. He experienced everything that we go through. He knows what it's like to be hungry, to become thirsty, to be tired, and to weep, for He wept at the death of His own friend. He knows what we go through. But there's one thing that Jesus experienced that you and I never will have to go through. As Jesus was suffering and dying on the cross, He experienced God's wrath and justice. He endured the eternal punishment and death of hell so that God could fully, completely, and willingly forgive us of our sins. But that's not all that Christ has done for us. For we do not worship a Jesus who is dead, but Jesus who is living. Jesus descended into hell to declare His victory over sin, death, and the devil, triumphing over them by the cross. On the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, guaranteeing our salvation. Jesus ascended into heaven, preparing a place for us, and He rules over all things for us. And since Jesus is true God and true man, we share in all of those things with Him. The Apostle Paul said it like this: "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism in death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." Through baptism, we are connected with Christ. Through baptism, we are wrapped in Christ. Therefore, we too can declare to the devil that he has no victory over us and that our sins no longer condemn us. Because Jesus lives, we too will live. And Jesus promised that everyone who believes in him will live even though they die. And one day we will ascend into heaven and we will rule with Jesus from his throne. This is why we rejoice at the Christmas message that Jesus came wrapped in human flesh to win salvation for mankind. But this message of Jesus as God's Christmas gift is not just for us. It is offered to all. Notice who were the very first people who heard the message of Jesus' birth. Shepherds. Shepherds were simple, lowly, ordinary people. They weren't worthy to hear this message. They were just watching their sheep by night, but then an angel appears to them. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." The message the angel brought of good tidings of great joy was meant for all the people, including the simple, lowly, ordinary shepherds. And when the shepherds heard this message, what did they do? They listened to it. They believed it. They hurried off to Bethlehem and found Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus lying in a manger. And then they shared and offered that message to others, that those who heard this message were amazed at what the shepherds had to say to them. The same thing applies to us all. Who are we to hear this message of Jesus' birth? We're just simple, lowly, ordinary people. There is nothing that we have done that makes us worthy of this message. On the contrary, we are miserable sinners who have done horrible things, which makes us unworthy for this message. But that is exactly why this message is shared to us. Because a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, has been born for us. God has used this message to bring us to faith and to save us from our sins. But let us not keep this Christmas message to ourselves. Let the light of the Christmas message be shared with those who are living in the darkness of this sinful world. Let the life of this Christmas message be shared to those who are dead in their sins, because they don't know that a Savior has been born for them and he forgives them of their sins. And just as God used simple, lowly, ordinary shepherds to spread the message, he will use us as well. We don't have to be excellent speakers. We don't have to be the wisest scholars of Scripture. We don't have to be special individuals of the word of the world. We simply share the word, and God will bless that message because Jesus is God's Christmas gift and offered to all. There's one more thing that makes Jesus, God's Christmas gift, so perfect. It's because he is treasured and pondered by us. Mary treasured and pondered all of these things in her heart. And think of the day and night difference that first Christmas was for Mary. 9 months earlier, the angel Gabriel tells Mary that she is going to give birth to the Son of God, our Savior. And when that day finally comes, there's no room for them in the inn. She wraps him in swaddling clothes and places him in a manger, a place where animals would eat from. And so for Mary, she must have been wondering why Jesus, the Son of God, our Savior's birth, was in this way. But then God used the angels and the shepherds to give glory to Jesus' birth. This message was shared to others, and those who heard it were amazed at what had happened. And when Mary sees all of this, she treasures it in her heart and ponders on all these things that God has done. Let us do the same thing. Do not let the joy of this Christmas message only last for one day. Let the joy of this Christmas message be with us each and every day. Let us never have this attitude of, I know who Jesus is and I believe in him and that's good enough. Let us treasure God and who he is and what he has done deeply in our hearts. Let us ponder about God and his salvation by reading and studying his word. For we can never stop learning more about Christ and his salvation. We can only continue to learn more about Christ and his salvation. And every great thing that God does for you, treasure it and ponder deeply how gracious and loving and forgiving your God is. And so, my brothers and sisters in Christ, as we celebrate Christmas, Jesus is God's perfect Christmas gift. For when the time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, wrapped in human flesh, to redeem us from the law, so that we might receive the full rights as his children. Jesus is God's perfect Christmas gift, for he is offered to all, including us. And since we know about this Christmas message, let us share and offer it to others, and let us treasure and ponder Jesus in our hearts. For when we do, then we join with the angels who glorified and praised God by saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Amen. You may remain seated, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we will now collect our offering.